Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. We continue our look at the Paris massacre and also the Beirut bombing. Joining me right now, Raymond Ibrahim, author of several books, including Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. Raymond has been a frequent guest with us here, also on MSNBC, Fox News, PBS. He was born and raised in the United States by Coptic Egyptian parents, born and raised in the Middle East. And you can follow Raymond's work at Raymond Ibrahim, IBRAHIM.com. Raymond Ibrahim. Good to have you with me, Raymond. Thanks.
Hi, Al. Good to be with you again.
I looked at the column you wrote here on the grand lesson of the Paris Jihad, and I just shook my head and I said exactly what I was thinking. When I watched this news coverage on CNN and Fox primarily, I was surprised at how surprised they were. Not only did they neglect Beirut, but I mean, they acted as though they had never imagined that this was going to happen. What is the grand lesson of the Paris Jihad?
Sure, Al. It's basically what you're saying. When someone says, "I'm shocked about something," what they're ultimately telling you is that they have no idea how this particular event, in this case the Paris Jihad, came to pass. And yet the writing's all over the wall, whether you want to talk about the Islamic jihadi doctrines that all these Islamist types cite when they go on these attacks and scream Allahu Akbar, or whether you want to cite the this whole issue of migrants and looking even at history and finding parallels. It's all on the wall. So for you to say, "I'm shocked," not you personally, but these leaders or media or any talking type, is basically to say, "I don't know how this happened," and thus to pave the way for it to happen once again. And so the grand conclusion is that what you saw in Paris and what happened in 9/11 and in Lebanon and so forth are just going to continue happening, and probably on a worse scale, simply because we or our leaders and media and so forth don't want to embrace reality and stop being shocked and instead understand what leads to all of these terrorist attacks and start doing something about it.
It amazes me, and I've probably asked you this question before, but I'll ask it again. What is the reluctance to believe what these activists, these terrorists, and their theoreticians actually say? That they have an agenda. They have an ideological agenda. Every bit as clear as, you know, the international communism that we were so familiar with during the Cold War. What is so difficult about saying this stream of, or strain, or whatever you want to say, of Islam, has this particular agenda, reestablishment of the caliphate now, the imposition of Sharia, they see democracy as a heresy. Why is it difficult to recognize that they are motivated by a particular vision?
Well, I think the main thing is that all these leaders, media, and so forth, what they don't want to give any credence to is that this is anything to do with Islam, because some of them will tell you, yeah, they follow a perverse, warped, distorted, false version of Islam, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact is, if they actually acknowledge this, if they open the door to the Islam question, people are going to be start connecting the dots and understand that, you know what, the Islamic State, ISIS, if people start looking into this and researching, are not an aberrant strain of Islam. In fact, they are doing what Islam has done for 1,400 years, almost, if you know anything about history. And so I think they don't want to open that door and let people examine what, you know, the reality of it. And the bigger picture behind all this, I think, actually, is to say the truth about the Islamic State and these jihadi attacks and so forth really contradicts a number of cornerstones of Western thinking that were laid many decades ago and possibly centuries. And a lot of these include things like, and these to me are really dogmas. They're a kind of religion that many in the West subscribe to. And these include things like multiculturalism, the idea that every culture is equal. You can't say one is better than the other, certainly never say Western civilization or Christian civilization is better. They contradict the idea of relativism, which is, of course, as the word means, very much similar to multiculturalism. And also the lesser known of all of these factors that so many people, at least subconsciously, subscribe to is what I call Christian phobia, which is really, if anyone is bad, if anyone is evil, if we're going to talk about religion, then it always has to be Christianity.
Right.
And, you know, there's very little historical logic to this. This idea comes mostly from Hollywood, which is really where people get educated by now.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these forces have become ingrained, and I would argue it's not just our leaders or our media, it's part of the culture.
Yeah.
And so to really embrace reality, you remember this: the Islamic issue is Muslims are weak today. That's why they resort to terrorism. If you had normal policies based on common sense, none of this would even be happening. So who's really allowing it? I call it the enemy inside, which is all these leaders and all this media and academia, but it's deeper inside. It's not just those people. Those people are a reflection of the dominant culture, which I just delineated, mm-hmm. and all of which contradicts reality.
Yeah, and that's why the president can be so angry about those of us who are calling into question this accepting of all the refugees. And he says, what are you going to do? Are you going to have a religious test for who comes in here? Well, wait a minute, Mr. President. It seems to me we ought to have some kind of understanding that people have a different vision of what life ought to be. There is no world community here with an agreed-upon set of values. I mean, the Muslim world rejected the UN Declaration of Human Rights. China rejects it in large measure. So when he talks about the world community and these universal values, well, as a Christian, I believe there are universal values, but they're not, unfortunately, they're not agreed upon. And so our values here in the West, democratic capitalism, the primacy of conscience, religious liberty, that's a result of a long historical process. And you can't keep the fruit of that process, it seems to me, if you're going to neglect the roots of the process. And by attacking Christianity, it's a slow suicide.
Well, exactly. You know, what we have today, Western culture and civilization, I would argue in earlier decades when it was a little saner, it didn't come out of a vacuum. It was an absolute product of Christian civilization.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is today, because we've jettisoned Christianity and it has nothing to do with it, if anything, it's always a bad factor, a lot of Western people, and the idea is that the rest of the world are all embryonic Westerners, and once they're given a chance and they see and are enlightened, they're going to slough off all this stuff, this Islamic veneer, jihad, et cetera, et cetera. And so we just have to enlighten them, and eventually they'll see things our way. It's actually the exact opposite,
right.
I believe, especially with the Islamic question, because the most common denominator that a lot of these Islamist types have is a deep disgust for Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why they often attack Western countries. You don't see this happening, you know, in China or in Russia. I mean, it happens, of course, but because in those countries, they don't tolerate this sort of thing. So there's almost a certain respect, you know. Of course, they're still infidels and enemies, but there's a respect for what they're going to do and how they're going to retaliate. But in the West, the more you appease, actually, it brings about more disgust and more attacks and more intolerance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think this is, hopefully, this increased violence will eventually convince the cultural elites in the West that not everybody, that not all people and not all countries are embryonic Westerners, that they're living out their own experiment here, and we have to sometimes protect ourselves from their experiment.
And you're seeing already, like in France, it reminds me of 9/11, you know, something like this happens, and then you get a little kind of saber rattling from the country that's been attacked.
Right.
You know, people put up, like in America, 9/11, they put up American flags, now the Eiffel Tower picture is going up, the president saying we're going to destroy ISIS and so forth, even Hillary Clinton is now using the word jihadi, but don't fall for that, because they know they need to talk like that after such a big event, but just like with 9/11, give it time. After 9/11, what was the end culmination of it? Americans ended up electing a president who's of a Muslim heritage twice.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these things are very short-lived, and I don't think the lesson is going to be learned until there's a major shift in the cultural way of thinking.
Do you think, because of his Muslim heritage, that he's more sympathetic to Islam and doesn't recognize that this group, ISIS, or earlier Al-Qaeda, that these groups have a legitimacy within Islam? He just doesn't want to accept it.
I don't believe that Obama is a practicing Muslim, but he is of an Islamic heritage.
Right, right, yeah.
demonstrable fact. And he also comes from that world point of view where, you know, Western Christian white civilization right. is always the aggressor and everyone's the, you know. So he definitely sympathizes. And, you know, we don't even have to talk, we don't have to look at what he says. You just look at his actions. And the very fact is that the Islamic State is now entrenched in every country that Obama has gone into and tampered with in the name of democracy and freedom. And this these include Libya, of course, and the ongoing in Syria, and also Iraq. Of course, Bush is the one who paved the way for the Iraq issue, but, you know, Obama said war, mission accomplished, pulled them out, and now you have the Islamic State in Iraq, in Syria, and in Libya. And so, you know, is it that he is that stupid, or does he have a different vision and agenda? And I think it's the latter.
Let me jump to Egypt, because I know that's an area of special interest for you. And President Sisi has been, earlier this year, said he was going to protect religious liberty for Coptic Christians. There's some talk that at Al-Azhar University there have been statements that ISIS is satanic or demonic or whatever the proper word is. Is Sisi a secularist, and is he somebody to be trusted, or is he just another authoritarian leader who eventually will be driven from office by groups like Muslim Brotherhood?
He's a self-avowed religious Muslim. He's pious.
Okay.
But he says the things you want to hear, and in some small measure, you're seeing decent movements by his government and so forth. For example, after a number of Coptic Christians were slaughtered in Libya, he allowed the building of a church in Egypt called named after the martyrs. Of course, Muslims rose and attacked it, but it's still an issue. But the problem is you know, he's living in a Muslim country.
Right.
Whether he's a Muslim or not, it's always one step forward, two steps back in these places. And it's kind of like a parallel situation of what I described here in America. It's not about the leader so much. It's just the culture, you're talking about an Islamic nation. And so if he tries to do anything too drastic that, you know, obviously goes against Islamic teaching and Islamic law, then the people turn, or a large majority of Egyptians will start turning against him. Why? Because they're Muslim.
Yeah.
And so this is really the issue. And as for Al-Azhar, you know, that's kind of a schizophrenic institution because you're right with what you said, but at the same time, I just watched a video of a former clerk from Al-Azhar saying that everything the Islamic State does is being taught today in Al-Azhar.
Good heavens. Raymond, thank you once again. How do people stay in touch with you?
Thanks, Al. Like you said, just visit my website, One Stop for Everything, RaymondIbrahim.com.
Okay, RaymondIbrahim.com. I'm Al Cresta.